Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To get a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself, Jane Buster, delighted to welcome along Motherwell Club captain Keith Lasley. Keith, welcome along.
Not a problem, guys. Absolute pleasure. I enjoy listening to myself to the podcast and appreciate the work that you guys put in, the passion you have for the club. So, no, a pleasure to be here.
Well, no game to look back on this week, but a possibly unwelcome break for the fans, but for yourself, Keith, was it a wee chance to recuperate from your injury and recharge the batteries going into the last seven games of the season?
Probably kind of twofold answer. You're right, what you say personally, certainly from my point of view. I think as everybody's seen, took a little bit of a dunt against Dundee United, to put it lightly, and I got a nice little lump on the side of my thigh, which is seems to be taking its time to go away, but it's getting there now, and as you say, we're having the week off. It certainly doesn't do any harm, give me a little bit more time, and to be honest, I'd be disappointed now if I wasn't available for Inverness. So it's been good in that point of view. From the team's point of view, it probably, you know, it wasn't the best thing, because I think the form that we're in and the momentum that we've gathered in these last few weeks has been great. And, you know, I'm not saying it certainly, you know, we're not viewing it as going to hamper us in terms of results, but certainly when you are on a run like that, you just want to keep going, you know, you just want to get out there, and the next game can't come quick enough. But, you know, what it has done, any little niggles that guys even were playing with and things like that, always gives a little bit of a chance for even the guys behind the scenes that you don't hear much about that are carrying little knocks and things like that. Certainly gives that a little chance to settle down as well. So, now with the good couple of weeks off the back of some good results, and certainly in a good place mentally now for these, you know, two big games before the split.
Is it a bit strange, the international break, in the sense that many of the coaching team go away and work with their respective international sides? How does the place continue to tick over in their absence?
We just have a big party, because there's nobody. No, that's not true. No, as you say, obviously, I think it can only be, certainly for the profile of the club, I think it's a great thing that the coaching staff are so involved at a national level, because to me, you can only say that there's, you know, some half-decent coaches there and some half-decent you know, people involved at the club. So from that point of view, I think it's great. You know, Steve Robinson being involved with a very successful Northern Ireland setup at the moment, and obviously Mark away with Scotland to, you know, obviously had a good result the other night, and you know, I think there is some good positive things happening there, albeit you know, a disappointing end to the Euros campaign. So, you know, I think it's good in that respect. When we're away, you know, I mean, there's still staff there actually, you know, helping out a little bit with Craig's. Is it the 20s, as you know? So I took the game the other day for him while Craig's is away with the under-19s. So it's a little bit it's a little bit different with most of the coaching staff being there. But saying that, you know, but there's a few days off in there as well. So we're you know, it's not as if we're in every single day. The managers gave us a little bit of time off as well. So, you know, there's still staff there that can cover the days that we are in. And, you know, certainly come this week, everybody will be back and we'll be, you know, certainly raring to go for Saturday.
It's been a fantastic turnaround in the last 5 or 6 weeks with results really being kind of beyond our wildest dreams, I suppose, when you looked at the situation towards the end of February. How much has that been down to the influence of the manager, who he always remained quite level-headed and he seemed to be positive despite the fact results weren't going the way that we hoped they were going to go?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, I think to be sitting in this position just now, it's certainly, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we I think in the press and things like the manager, as you say, was saying all along that he believed certainly in the quality in the squad. But I think you can only kind of keep saying that for so long without having to back it up with results. And it is tough when you're maybe not quite getting the results that you believe that you're capable of. But that certainly never wavered from the manager, and I think that transfers itself onto the players as a group. You know, as you say, through, you know, defeats or winning, you know, not getting too carried away with yourself when you're winning, and not getting too down when you're, you know, when you're maybe well publicised last minute goals here and there, which was certainly does deflate you. But you know, he certainly stays strong throughout that, and I think, as I said, that transfers onto the players, so that, you know, when you do start to get a couple of breaks, you know, things, you know, you're ready in a good place mentally to take advantage of that and kick on. So I think that's what we've done. And I think, you know, he's an experienced manager. He's been there, done it. I think he's managed over 900 games now. And, you know, I don't think he managed that many football matches if you don't have half an idea of how to manage a group of players. So, no, he's done that well. He done that well when he, last time he was at the club. And, you know, I think that has been a big plus in this little, you know, this little run that we've been on, we find ourselves on.
So I suppose now the ambition is how to consolidate that place in the top six. I know it's perhaps not the be-all and end-all, but with two games to go and being in that position, I would assume that's where everyone wants to stay.
No, of course it is. I mean, again, you know, 5-6 weeks ago, I don't think, yeah, as again, in the press and things that we're saying, or we think we can still do it. But, you know, when things are going against you results-wise, it is difficult to keep believing that as a player and keep thinking, right, can we do it? Because I think a big factor of that is what we went through last year, and always in the back of your mind, you are always looking over your shoulder. And as I said last year, it makes it difficult not to do that. So I think what the last 4 weeks has done has given us a real genuine belief that we are, you know, A, good enough to be up there where we are and wear it, and B, to, you know, if not consolidate, try and push on further. So, you know, we know it's going to be tight. We know there's a lot of teams still certainly vying for the last couple of places in the top six, but, you know, again, more than capable. And as I said, we go into the game against Inverness, again, one of the teams that probably fancy it themselves, in a good place. And, you know, if we can get, you know, we go into these last two games, these last seven games, and fit and ready and you know, everybody available, then I see no reason why we can't finish the season strongly. And given where we were, you know, 6 weeks ago, you know, I think it can certainly, hopefully, be looked back upon as a really good achievement when we, you know, when the dust settles in the summer.
When you looked back on last season, and I suppose for the best part of it, it was what could be described as a massive struggle. I know the end was very positive, but and it perhaps kind of clouds our memories a wee bit when we look back in last season. But I suppose the players themselves, they'll know how much toil went into last season. So has that kind of been another incentive to avoid being dragged into the fight at the bottom? I know we're not quite out of it, but it looks very, very positive at this moment in time.
No, I mean, I'm saying, you know, we're certainly looking at a positive manner, but we know we're not, you know, certainly, definitely out of it. Until that happens, we'll still be, as I said, because of last year, we'll still probably have half an eye on what's going on below us, because, you know, I don't think we can afford not to be. We've got to be vigilant, yeah, we've got to be positive, but, you know, what one last year thing, you know, from a personal point of view, I have, you know, not been, for a better, what of a better phrase, went into a football match shite myself as much as I did in the two games. And I think it does cloud, you know, the outcome, I think, clouds what surrounded that game in terms of the feeling with round about the club, within the club certainly, was the, you know, the possible ramifications for the club. And not just that, I mean, somebody myself that, you know, certainly growing a great affection for the club and the area, and a love for it, if you like, to see it, you know, first and foremost in a football level, relegated would have been devastating for myself personally. So, never mind what financial ramifications could have, you know, could have incurred. So, as I said, anybody, I think any player that was involved in that, the two games, you know, the overwhelming emotion after that was total relief for us. You know, I think once you sat down and actually thought about it and looked back on it, with, I think you look back with a bit more fondness than you did at the time, to be honest, because, as I said, it was a pretty stressful period. So, you know, how can that not drive you on? I mean, it certainly drives me on personally. And you know, the guys that were involved in that last year, and the guys that weren't involved in it, the new guys that have came to the club, I think they certainly are left in no doubt how much you know, it did take out, not take out of us, but certainly weighed on, you know, weighed down on us throughout that playoff scenario. So I think they've got an appreciation of how important it is that we stay away from it, and certainly the guys that were involved will be driving that home right till, you know, until it's mathematically possible they're out of it, and you know, carry on picking up as many points as we can.
You talked about the new guys that have arrived at the club. There's a couple in particular that have really stood out, along with two young players that have been absolutely fantastic since they came into the side. But Lou Moult will grab the majority of the headlines, and I dare say we discussed it last week, possibly rightfully so, for so many crucial goals and some fantastic performances as well. Coming from the conference down south, he's been some find, hasn't he?
No, he is. He has been. He really has. And I think he's a player that's really grown as the season's went on as well. And again, I think that can only be a good thing for us. To me, Louis, the biggest thing about him is his willingness to learn, and to even the way he works at his game off the park. You know, he's never out the gym, and he's the type of character he is. And I can only see him improving more, which is great for, you know, myself and everybody at the club to say, because he's not doing too bad now, and to think that he, for me, as I said, he's only going to go one way, is improve, is a great thing looking into the future. You know, before he came up, I've got to admit, you know, myself, like a lot of the guys, sometimes you know it doesn't get the greatest exposure in the conference, and you don't quite know here or there, and you learn he scored a few goals and he started off at Stoke, but apart from that, he never really knew too much. But as I said, even from pre-season, the progression he's made, you know, in the squad and through to becoming really a real mainstay in the team now, and a real key player, has been fantastic. And it's been fantastic for me to see him grow in that time. And as I said, from a teammate's point of view, and a guy that plays alongside him, I can only see him improving even more. And you know, I think there's still a lot more to come from Lou, which is, as I said, is a great thing, I'm sure, for the manager as well to think about.
You'd mentioned your involvement in the under-20s set-up. You perhaps had seen a bit more of Ben Hall and Chrissy Carden coming through. The success of the 20s side and reaching the final has been really impressive as well. I must confess, this season, I think the 3 years would say that we haven't seen as many games as we would have liked to, but we'll certainly all be getting along to the final. And that's going to be a huge day for the club, particularly with the mantra of developing young players and trying to, I suppose, sell them on eventually to help ensure the club has a sustainable future.
No, I mean, I think it's going to be, as you say, it's going to be a massive part of the club's you know, business plan. I think, for one of putting it a better way, as you know, if you put it strictly down to numbers, it's obviously the business we're in. And I mean, first and foremost, we want these young guys to flourish at Motherwell before we even start thinking of moving them on. But I think in terms of, in general, giving young boys a chance, I think it's sometimes something that, yeah, or we want to be seen as a club that's pushing youth. And, you know, sometimes it's just being at a club over the years, and you don't find it, does it really, really harm? Do you really, you know, put your faith in them? But I think, well, that's one thing, again, go back to what the impact the manager has. He's, you know, he came in and he said, I think he's been quoted himself as saying, he spoke to the young boys as a group, and he said, look, you're going to get your chance. You know, I've heard that a million times off different managers, and again, as I said, it doesn't really happen. But again, I think Mark's backed that up by, you know, giving him a chance. I think he challenged him to, like, you know, you're going to have to achieve, you know, do X, Y, and Z, get stronger, get fitter, get, you know, make sure you're ready to join in. But if you are, you will get your chance. And Again, Ben and Cads have shown the way in terms of doing that extra work, being working with Craggs and through the week and doing enough to show Mark that they're ready and capable of playing at first team level. And not only that, I think, again, what can happen is, I've seen it again, is boys coming in maybe once or twice. I'm sure you guys have seen it yourselves more than me over the years at Motherwell, and, show a little bit of promise, and then, all of a sudden you don't see them again. And it's actually what's been most pleasing and the aspect of young Ben and Cads. Again, they've come in and, they just look like first-team players now. They're just classed as first-team players. And how quickly they've done that has been remarkable, and how consistent they've been, I think, has been remarkable. And again, I think it's testament to their own character and their own, hopefully the good work they've been doing with Craggs as well, that they have been ready to step up. And I don't think they're going to be the only ones. I think, again, having the privilege to work with the young guys, even at 17s level and through the 20s, to me, I think there is a few there coming through, and hopefully we're going to see the fruits of that over the next, coming year, two, three, whatever it may be. But Ben and Cads are certainly showing the way, and, two great role models for the other young guys at the club to aspire to, and I'm sure they won't be the last.
Can I just ask just about Ben Hall in particular? I think he was one of those players that perhaps came out a little bit of nowhere, at least from a fan's point of view. I think, Cadden, the likes of Dom Thomas, Jack Leach, some of the younger boys you kind of already knew about, they were kind of knocking on the door, sitting on the bench, that kind of thing. Whereas, I think when Ben Hall was brought into the starting lineup, I think when we sort of read the team, I think that first week in the pub, we all kind of looked at each other, who's this guy? I mean, was there a feeling that he would come into the team and do as well as he has done, or was that a little bit of a surprise as well?
Being honest, no. I mean, even being involved with the 20s with Craggs, he is probably one, as you say, that, with Cadden's and we Dom and Jack, and they were on the fringes, if you like, whereas Ben's probably came, right through the fringes, came from nowhere, right through the fringes and straight into the first team, rather than being in that kind of group that's, you're almost on the edge, training with the first team for so long, and then you kind of slowly felt your way in. Whereas with Ben, he just went, straight from one set up straight into the other, if you like, put in a lot quicker. But again, that's down to the manager. I think that was solely the manager's decision. Ben had been doing well with the under 20s and and whatever, but I don't think even Craggs himself or even Ben himself, I'm sure, would think he would have been playing the first team this season, never mind as early as he has done. So I think it has happened quicker, and even as for myself and for the other players, it's probably we've been a little bit surprised at the time when the manager decided to put him in, but he's not looked back, and the manager obviously seen that's something that he liked, and he's put him in. And as I said, it's certainly he's went from strength to strength, Ben. And now, the biggest compliment you could pay him now is he just looks like a first team player. He doesn't look like a young boy playing in a first team. He certainly looks like he deserves to be there. And again, long may that continue, and hopefully he can flourish the rest of this season and on into next.
Looking back in the season so far, it seems like it's been such a drawn-out season. I don't know what it's felt like to play in it, but in terms of, you actually think back to your own testimonial, it seems like an age ago for me. It seems like a long, long time ago. I was watching back some of the highlights today, and it did strike me that it felt like last season rather than this season, I must say. It has been one up and ups and downs, but the testimonial was a special affair. It was great to see so many people turn out, and I'll speak for all three of us when I say it was absolute just reward for your service to the club and how much a special place you've got in the fans' hearts as well, given you really seem to have taken to the club and the place, and you see that with your family around the place as well. It's an absolute fantastic thing. It must have been a special day.
Yeah, it really was. It was a humbling day. It was something I never ever envisaged when I walked through the doors at Motherwell for the very first time. Certainly something I never have thought of, have the privilege of having to have my family there, and the amount of fans that turned out, and it was a special day for myself and my family, and certainly something I'll never forget. And you know, I've got so many memories of the day itself, and not just the day, but the year. You know, building up to that in terms of different events, and I was really lucky to have some really good people support me on it, and help me out in terms of the organisation of it all, and people giving up their free time pretty much to come and help me, and things, you know, as I said, the reception I've had, and not just on the testimonial day itself, but you know, throughout my time at Motherwell, particularly, you know, the latter period, you know, since I became captain of the club and things like that, it's just been unbelievable. And, you know, for myself and my family now, in terms of being round about the games, my kids, and it is a very humbling experience to have that be held in a little bit of regard by the fans. And, you know, I class myself, I spoke to you guys before at different things, and I class myself as a fan, to be honest, and, you know, the day I stop playing at the club, I certainly will be back as a fan, certainly at some point, and it's you know, so to be given a day and an honour like that is just, beyond my wildest dreams, and you know, certainly something I'll look up back on forever with really fond memories. And the fact that now my 4-year-old son scored more goals than me this season is... adds to the whole occasion. So, no, special day, special year, actually, and you know, a special club, and certainly from my perspective,
it's been good.
See,
sorry, on you go, Basta.
No, sorry, I just to pick you up on that there, Keith. A couple of seasons ago, you scored about 5, 6, 7 goals. Where you just seem to. Whenever you got the ball about 25 yards, you just put your head in and took a dig. Yeah. I mean, why have you geared that up, basically? Because I don't think we had enough shots for 30 yards.
No, it was. I remember, actually, the season you're talking about. I scored twice into Ryan Essen. I think I retired Ryan Essen after me scoring twice into him. But no, look, it's something that. I think I was probably possibly given maybe a little bit more license to get forward in that season, I think, and maybe found myself in a few more situations where, as you said, albeit probably outside the box, still outside the box, I think, even in terms of getting into games with maybe a slightly more attacking mindset than I have been recently. I think once you get on a roll and you score a couple of goals, it's amazing. You think maybe the next time you get the ball, I think, oh, I'll just have another shot. But, you know, it's one of the things. I don't really know, to be honest. It's, as I said, I just, in the team just now, I think I'm just playing a slightly different role and maybe getting into the games with a slightly different mindset of, you know, letting the guys in front of me be the ones that are going to go and win as a game, and being seen as a slightly different cog in the wheel, if you like, in terms of a slightly different job to do. But no, I hope it's not the end of my score. I still hope there's a couple of 30 yarders or 20 yarders or 2 yarders. I'll take any of them, to be honest with you. But I hope there's still a couple in there. But it's something that I'll need to start doing again. I've got 7 games left, so you never know. Maybe I'll be going in there just to top things off the last game of the season. Who knows?
The treatment of the club's been first class to you, though, hasn't it? Because they've brought back all your pals, so you can never get lonely.
No, that's right. That's amazing. That is when you think about it. You get asked about it, you know, all the time. In terms of, you just can't think of another club in Scotland that has got so many. You know, guys that have been at the club and away and back, but, you know, I think even for the night we had a few weeks back, you know, the class of 02, as it was called, and, you know, it's just a great atmosphere in and about the club to have these guys, obviously guys you've grown up with and kind of grown through the club, and, yeah, you know, I think all of us have been away and had a couple of years elsewhere, but I think all of us would probably say, I'm pretty sure that, you know, certainly the most enjoyable years of our careers has been at Motherwell, and I think that says something for the club itself and the people around about it, and you know, it's great for great to be still in a dressing room with these guys again. Probably something that, you know, never thought would have happened back in the day, that we'd all be back together. A lot of us would be back together, you know, still playing for a club that we all, you know, we all love.
It kind of went a bit underplayed because of the fantastic result against Aberdeen, but it must have come as a real disappointment to the dressing room to see Faddy pick up another fairly serious injury that perhaps will rule him out of getting to pull on the jersey again this season.
No, it does. I mean, it does. I think it's really disappointing for him, because you say it's a type of injury now that's, it probably will mean he's not going to be available again this year, and you know, I think Faddy, but you know, he's a bit of a legend, and I'm just, as a friend, I'm just gutted more than anything to see him, because I know he still you know, wants to go out there more than anything, desperately to play his part, and unfortunately that's not going to be the case now. You know, I'm not sure what he's thinking. You know, he was obviously he was hopeful of getting his sail out to America, but it's, you know, it never happened for one reason or another. So I'm not too sure what's going to happen in the summer. But yeah, if that's certainly be the end of this season for him. But you know, I'm sure he'll be back. He's still fit enough, James, and you see him on a daily basis. You do get to see him. You know, sometimes you wish your fans could come down to training sometimes to see some of the stuff he's still capable of, because he is still capable. And you know, I fit James McFadden is still an asset, certainly at our level, and you know, I just hope he's back fitter, you know, sooner rather than later, and he can get his get Selig back out in a football pitch where he's, you know, he's at his best.
You mentioned a few factors, but what would you say the defining one is, and meaning that players want to come back to Firth Park? There's been so many in the past, and as you say, possibly more than any other club. There seems to be ex-players returning. The kind of old "you don't go back" adage just kind of goes out the window with Motherwell, because there's been so many that have come back and done very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a thing that's maybe snowballed, if you like. I think maybe a couple come back and it's worked out okay for them. So maybe, you know, the other lads see that and they see that, you know, come back to a club and really, you know, I think, you know, certainly since I come back to the club in 06, you know, it's certainly been the best period and the most enjoyable period of my career. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And you know, I just think it's, again, a bit of a cliche in terms of, well, it's a family club and the people behind the scenes, but it really is. And I think the guys, I think you can you know, make that true by the fact of, you know, when I do speak to guys like Faddy and like Serpiro and like, you know, Clarkey, Hamill, whoever, and obviously have been in away and sampled other clubs and played at various different levels in the game, you know, various different, you know, backroom staffs, various different people that work in the office, you know, sets of fans, whatever, you know, we all can't be saying the same thing and all be wrong, if you like, you know, but there must be something there, and we all agree that, you know, it's just a great environment to play your football. Yeah, managers come and go and coaches come and go, but as a group, you obviously have a friendship as a group in terms of a personal level, but there is definitely something about the club and the people around about it, and, you know, the connection with the fans and things like that just make it such an enjoyable place to go to your work every single day, such an enjoyable place to go and play your football on a Saturday. It's certainly been special for me, and I know the other guys feel the exact same way. So is it one specific thing? I'm not sure. I think it's just a culmination of a few different things, and as I said, I know the other guys feel the exact same way as I do.
Hey, can I just ask, just when you were saying there about you know, the friendships and how much you enjoy being at the club and how good a spell it's been, has there ever been a time at the club that you've particularly not enjoyed? And just with that in mind, what was it like working under Jim Gannon?
Oh, my good friend Jim. We're never off the phone to each other, honest. We're buddies. No, look, there's been challenging times at the club. There's no doubt about it for me. You know, I think back to even when I first started at the club, and you know, it was Billy Davis that brought me to the club, and it, you know, kind of bumped along, if you like, in the first kind of little period, and, you know, made my debut, which was absolutely fantastic for me at Ibrox, and and great. And then after that, again, kind of in and out the side, if you like. And there was certainly periods. I mean, I remember, you know, learning if I was going to get a contract right up until the very last day of the season and things like that. And you know, it was all kind of sliding doors moment. You know, so you think 1 minute you think I'm not getting a contract, and then you are getting a contract. And there was a couple of times where, you know, I think it was a very close decision for, you know, guys like myself, not just myself. It was, you know, loads of guys of a similar age group where it was kind of touch and go whether you were going to get kept on by the club. You know, luckily then after that, luckily enough for us, and a big opportunity came for us, unfortunately, through a real tough period for the club in terms of the administration, which was, you know, it was a real tough period for everyone, but it probably, you know, gave us young guys a probably more of a chance to then go on and have the careers we have had at the club. But, you know, and from a manager's point of view, yeah, you know, I think there's no doubt, everybody knows that the Jim Gannon period for myself and MD over the age of 12 at the club, I think, a tough time, you know. So, you know, it was difficult. It was pretty, you know, made pretty clear pretty early that, as I said, it was not going to be too good. And I came very, very close again, a kind of sliding doors moment before, probably about a week, I would say, maybe a week or two, possibly, before Craig Brown came in and, you know, Jim left. You know, I was nearly away. I just kind of got to a point, because I think through that period you're always thinking, you know, I'll hang on, I'll get a chance, this, that. But by the end of it, you're just kind of slowly being worn down, and you know, we got to a point where I've got to start looking after, go and look after my family and things like that. And I would probably say, yeah, about a week possibly, and I was nearly away. And again, you think, then I probably wouldn't have had my, you know, the best period of my career and most enjoyable, and it was very, very close to not happening, and testimonials and things we've already spoke about. So, yeah, that's a tough testing period, and luckily enough for me, you know, Craig and Archie come in and things change around for me again. So, it's always been, you know, as you say, there's been some fantastic periods and continues to be really enjoyable. There was some periods there where, you know, it was pretty tough going, and as I said, probably as close as I've ever been to leaving the club, to be honest.
So I suppose there was no way at that stage that you could comprehend even playing in the Champions League qualifiers, a Scottish Cup final, finishing second place, finishing third place. It's really turned since that point, I suppose, since Craig and Archie came in. There was three or four seasons of sustained success.
Yeah, I think so, and I mean, I don't know if you guys will agree or whatever, but I mean, that round about that period, and even Stuart's period when he came in, just for myself personally, I think that was probably round about certainly as well as I've played in the Motherwell jersey. And you know, I'm still hoping I've still got a contribution to make at the club, and in that sense, I still feel I've got a lot of good football in me. But certainly up to this point, I feel as if around about that period is as well as I've played, and it's again, as you say, it's very, very close to not happening. And as I said, so it's quite scary actually when you think back and you look back and you think, God, that, you know, you rhyme them off, Scottish Cup final and Champions League, and you know, to walk the team out in the Olympic Stadium in Athens, you know, it's like pinch yourself time, and you know, to think all these things. You know, even the testimonial things like that. It's just, you know, to think these things might not have happened is actually quite a scary thought for me, and to think how much joy these occasions have given me. So, no, it's probably makes me more thankful for the things that you know, the chances I have had since then. So, again, it probably only makes you appreciate what you have got and what you're hopefully going to continue to do. So, no, it's good. The tests certainly test the character, but character building. But you know, these things are sent to testers, I think. So it's I think it's been onwards and upwards since then. And as I said before, hopefully I've got a little bit more to give.
There's been a lot of focus away from the playing field and talk of the movement towards fan ownership, which has got a lot of publicity, both positive from the majority of outsiders, I think. A lot of the Motherwell support are maybe a wee bit more on the fence and a wee bit more unsure of how sustainable it's going to be. As I've seen yourself talking about the advantages of it and how you really believe it can work at Motherwell, has there been any dialogue between yourself and the society in terms of bringing that forward and promoting it to the fans? I think communication has been one of the biggest bugbearers, and Christ, we talk about it every week on here, but it's obviously a vital time for the club, and the society is going to be pivotal to the success going forward.
Yeah, I think it's going to be challenging. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think it's it's a fantastic model, and it's as I said, I've been on record as saying to have the future of the club, in the hands of the people that love it the most, I think it can only be is a great idea and a great model if we can make it work. But it's going to be hard work to make it work. We've got to, as you say, lines of communication and making sure that local, the fans and local businesses and everybody is on board and knows what's going on and the reasons behind it and things like that. That is the big challenge now, and it's up. I think Les is he's the man it's helped facilitate it and helped make it happen. I think without him, I don't think I don't think it would have been possible, quite frankly, to be honest. So I think Les has got to take great credit for that. But as you say, I think myself as a member myself, it's something I'm desperate to try and make work and try and help as much as I can, and hopefully in the weeks and months ahead, I'll certainly be doing all I can from a player's point of view to try and promote it. And try and, along with the other players as well, try and promote it as much as we can, and just try and push it, because we know we've not got the biggest or not as big as maybe some of the other clubs in Scotland, but I think we the belief and the passion that I know the Motherwell fans have got, I think we can make it work. It's just a case of making sure it's done, and we do get everything in it together. As you say, if there's been problems with the communication, we get it sorted. If there's trying to get as many other people involved that maybe haven't been involved, the people that are involved that maybe haven't been renewed and things like that, and it's just going to be a constant a work in progress, if you like, and I think we've just got to keep pushing as much as we can. I think it's maybe sounds a bit more romantic than the reality is in terms of helping run a Scottish football club. I think I don't think it's the easiest thing in the world to do, to be honest with you, and I'm sure there's going to be a few ups and downs along the way, but I genuinely believe it can work. I genuinely believe it can be a long, real, good long-term sustainable business model for the club. I'm just desperate to do all I can to try and help the Welsh society in any way that I can, any small way, and hopefully if we all stick together and we all get it going and get it started, and then it's something that we can just try and grow as much as we can, and obviously us guys on the pitch try and do our bit as much as we can, and because there's no doubt about it, and the more successful the team on the park, I think, then hopefully the more successful, more publicity we can get off the park to keep pushing it and pushing it. So let's see. I just think there's a lot of passion for it out there, a lot of love for the club, and just hopefully we can turn that into a successful Welsh society and a successful model going forward.
You mentioned the player involvement, and I always think that's a big thing, whether it be a Q&A night or a quiz night, that if there's a team of players, a player presence at these things, it gives everyone else a lift. People like taking their kids along, getting their pictures taken, and getting to meet guys in a slightly more informal setting. There is a real onus, I guess, on the senior players like yourself, to say, without you pushing me too much, that
they're really senior players.
Getting these guys along and some of the younger boys, and just encouraging them to show face at these things, I suppose, as a responsibility, as a representative of Motherwell Football Club.
Yeah, of course it is, and I think I go back to talking right at the start of the thing about guys like Louis Moult, and that's another impressive thing about Louis is the guys that come to the club get a feeling for the club straight away, and I think the Welsh society is a way to do that, as a feeling of you might not have grown up in Motherwell and not have maybe have that feeling for the club, but you know, educate them, that sounds a bit patronising, but you know, in terms of the background to the society, and as you say, nights like that to show, you know, not only what it means to the fans, but to get the players involved in it themselves and believing in it, and you know, that kind of all in it together feeling. And I think, as you say, nights, hopefully that is going to be something that it'll be happening over the next, you know, weeks and months ahead. That, you know, we can, again, sometimes it feels it's kind of empty rhetoric in terms of, oh, we're all in it together. Well, you know, let's be all in it together. Let's get all the players there. Let's get, you know, and not just be maybe one or two talking, you know, maybe guys like myself and a couple of the older ones that know what it's all about. Let's, you know, let's get as many of the guys there as we can in terms of players and people for the club, and you know, and actually, you know, do what we say we're going to do, not just play at it, because I think that's important. I think now is the time. We've been given an opportunity by the owner to go and say, right, you know, let's go and do it. You know, I think we've got to do it properly and not do it at all. So, you know, I think that's got to be the aim for the coming weeks and months, as I say.
We'll go ahead and we'll look towards Saturday's game, a massive fixture up at Inverness. Jay Buster, I know Buster's actually eating a Chinese last, so we'll try and not get him to speak as much.
How is it?
It's all right.
What are you having?
It's not too bad,
aye. Jay, it's a massive trip. It's always a difficult game up there, isn't it? But we started the season with a win up there, and a win on Saturday would all but secure that place in the top six.
Absolutely, I don't really know. You know, things have changed so much. We kind of get into a habit of being quite pessimistic, I think, over, you know, the last month or two. You know, we got carried away a little bit when we'd won at Celtic Park and things, then we had quite a poor run. So I think we get in the habit on here of maybe playing down our chances and looking behind us and not getting too carried away. But you're right, I mean, it's a game that we can go into with a lot of confidence. Hopefully, you know, I think you touched upon it as well, and the idea of, you know, that momentum that was possibly building up just before the international break. It's one of those ones that you can't really comment on unless you've got the hindsight. So we'll see how Saturday goes. If we get the result, then, you know, great. The international weekend hasn't played much of a part. But if things don't go our way, then, you know, did the break come at a wrong time? Did it kind of disrupt the momentum we'd built up? It'll be an interesting game, and it's a game we can go into with lots of confidence, and hopefully get a good result. Because I think if we go up there and get, you know, a win guarantees top six. I think a draw is certainly not a poor result. But to be in this position, going up to Inverness, knowing that any kind of result could pretty much secure top six, is just crazy compared to where we were, you know, not too long ago.
Keith, is the pressure off going into this game now? They've built up that wee bit of a points advantage over the clubs kind of lurking around the relegation spot and the playoff spot, or is it now almost you begin to see the bright lights of the top six, where there'll be a couple of games against the likes of Celtic and Aberdeen to close out the season, and even that outside possibility of what was discussed in Sportscene last week of a chance of Europe? It must be a kind of difficult one to approach mentally at times.
Yeah, I don't think the pressure's off. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's maybe a slightly different pressure, but it's, you know, we'll be putting ourselves in a position in Saturday. You know, we know how big a game it is. It's, as Jay said there, if we go to Inverness and get a result, we're going to put ourselves in a very commanding position in terms of the top six. I mean, I think talk of Europe and things like that, you know, that's something that we can maybe come after, and after the split certainly. But you know, at the moment, to think that we can go up to Inverness and if they offered us that 6 weeks ago, you can go to Inverness and if you win, you're in the top six. It's, you know, it's bite your hand off time. So it's we'll you know, not put pressure on ourselves, but we'll certainly be getting into the game and focusing this week is knowing that we've got a big game at the end of it, and one that we know, you know, if we do well and play to, you know, the way we have been and to our potential, you know, we'll get a chance of securing a top six slot. So it's, you know, it's a big game, really, but, you know, a massive game, and you know, it's the next game, which is, you know, is always the biggest. So it's not something that we, you know, can't wait for. Yeah, we've had a little break, but you know, we're all back in and we're ready to go again in Saturday. So, you know, it can't come quick enough from a player's point of view.
there's a wee bit of retribution needed as well after what was a very tough defeat to take in the Scottish Cup, I suppose.
No, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think the first game of the season, I think we actually played really, you know, really well in that game, and deservedly beat them up there. But yeah, the cup game was disappointing. There's no doubt about that. It's again, you know, the cup is something that we, you know, we need to start doing better in. And unfortunately, for us, it wasn't to be on that day as well. The boys stuck going in from 30 yards or whatever in that little period where we seemed to lose a few late goals, which, you know, it was disappointing, there's no doubt about that. But look, that's gone, that's you know, we're in a different place now. We feel as if we're in a different place mentally and the way we're playing, and, you know, certainly that'll not be anywhere in our minds getting into the game on Saturday. We're going up there and treating it as a one-off and treating it as, you know, we've got two games before the split and two opportunities to get ourselves into that top six. And as I said to you 6 weeks ago, we never thought we'd have this chance. So we're looking to grasp it with both hands and yeah, you know, we feel more than capable of going there and getting the result.
With preparation for a game as far away as that, do the players go up the night before? Do they travel first thing in the morning? How does that work out?
No, we usually go up the night before, to be fair. The Inverness and Ross County game, I think Inverness, Ross County and Aberdeen, we generally go up up the night before. We have done it on the day, but I would expect us to go up on the Friday, especially Inverness and Ross County, which, if you are doing it on the day, it does mean a pretty early start, to be honest. And you're obviously sitting in a bus for that A9, which isn't, you know, the best preparation. It can be done, as I said, we have done it in the past, but I would expect we'll probably travel up on the Friday and be as best prepared as we can and you know, for the game on the Saturday, which, you know, I'm sure we will be ready, as I said, ready to go, you know, come Saturday at 3 o'clock.
I suppose it can't be ignored, the fantastic success that both Inverness and Ross County have had in recent years. County obviously winning the League Cup a few weeks ago, Inverness won the Scottish last year. It's been a real rags to riches story for both these clubs, hasn't it? They've really taken to top flight Scottish football like a duck to water.
Yeah, they have. I think again, I think you look at them now and they just look, you know, you look at them as Premier League teams. You know, it's hard to think about that, and you know, where they were possibly, you know, 5-10 years ago, whatever it may be, and, you know, not even in the league at all, certainly in Ross County's case. So it's you know, the where they've come from is, you know, to where they are now, and as you say, the two cups at the moment are certainly sitting in the Highlands, and you know, again, you would never have said that a few years back. So, no, full credit to them. I think they've you know, they've been a good addition to the league, and, you know, certainly Inverness, you know, play some really nice football, and, you know, from Ross County's perspective, the run they've been on since we were with them, but, you know, the lower end of the league last season, the run that, you know, Jim McIntyre and Billy Dodds have had them on has been incredible, and to get, as I said, you know, one of the national trophies is great. But in saying that, the only downside to all of that is it's another team that you feel is went and won a cup that, you know, kind of certainly sickens me a bit to see the clubs that have went and won cups, and, you know, how we've, you know, underachieved at times in the cup is, you know, you go back to when we were talking about highlights and things like that. For myself personally, it's certainly one thing I still, you know, is alluded us in my time, is just that, yeah, we've got that one final against Celtic where unfortunately we let ourselves down, but, you know, seeing clubs like Ross County and Inverness and St Mirren's and Kilmarnock's, and it just certainly fires you up to you know, to why Camino be one of the teams that's lifting a trophy. So, you know, it's always next year, as they say, but hopefully it can be certainly be Motherwell shot soon, because it's long overdue.
We'll wrap up conversation in just a wee bit, but we'll cover this week's Remember Well question before we do that. Jay, if you want to take over for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no worries. I think it's a fairly quick one this week, just because the answers don't really have much anecdotal pattern behind them, but it was your first ever football autograph? For me personally, it was Davy Cooper. I remember being, I think it was some sort of charity or fundraising thing in No Talk Primary when I was about 3 or 4 years old. Davy Cooper, what a guy. Still got it somewhere. I'll need to get a photo of it and fire up on the Twitter or Facebook. But that was my first ever one. Neil Hartness was Darren Randolph. Quite a modern one there. Dunks McGuire. Mine was from the late, great Phil O'Donnell. John Fearon. My first ever autograph was Rab Shannon, who'd done a trophy presentation at my boys' club. Behind, after Rab Shannon, he's put brackets Dundee, so I think he might be a wee bit young and doesn't he realise that Rab Shannon actually played for us as well. We also have, who else? Graham Faulkner, Shuggy Sproat, who else? Derek Mitchell, Tommy Coyne. Alan went with my first hero, Big Willie McCallum. Got it in an old programme before I got my autograph book, retro there. On the Facebook, Jimmy Howley, John Martin of Hibs. I ran onto the pitch at Fir Park during the warm-up. I was heading for a Motherwell player, but I bottled it when a cop shouted at me. Okay, Ian Buchanan went I got an autograph book for my Christmas in 1982, full of Motherwell players and staff. The first page was Brian McLaughlin, so a really lazy effort for Bukes there. He couldn't even be bothered to go and get the autographs himself. Gordon and Wendy Quinn went to Dixie Dean's, coming out of the Fir Park Club, a bit worse for wear. And I think that might be it. Oh, no, one more. We have Robert Caldwell. Mine was John Dixie Dean's way, way a long time ago. Just looked at it yesterday on a black and white photo from the League Cup semi-final with St Johnson in October 1969, which we lost 2-0. So I don't know if you guys remember your first autographs.
Yeah, mine's just pretty tragic. So you can just skip over mine if you want.
What was that? Roy Essando?
Yeah. It was always a big hero of mine, and then obviously went on to great things when he scored that goal for Wickham against Leicester.
I remember that one, eh?
I spotted talent in that guy. I just basically, we used to stand at the front of the main stand or the front of the David Cooper stand, and he was always a sub. So effectively, I think he was possible about three.
So he's an easy target. You got him every week.
Exactly. He was a staple part of my autograph book.
Mine's was Phil O'Donnell, I think, as well. It came in a sort of card, and it had a 40 of them. And it was, you know, two James Best Wishes, Phil O'Donnell, it said in it. I think that's the first one I remember anyway, but I don't know if I maybe had one or two before that. Probably did, but that's the one that always sticks out in my memory as my first.
Aye, way to go and blow Essendo right out of the water there.
What about yourself, Keith? Any early autographs?
Well, I was. I'm a big Everton fan through family connections. My dad being a Scouser, so one of my first ones was Neville Southall, the goalie. Which was one of my early ones. So that was the kind of mid-80s Everton, all conquering Everton team. That was my they were my boyhood heroes. So I had a couple of them in the old autograph book. But aye, that's some of the Peter Reeds and your Gary Linekers and Andy Gray's, Graham Sharp. So I'm sure I've got a couple of them lying somewhere up the loft in a book somewhere.
I'm feeling absolutely grim about Essendon, really.
See, in regards to you, you're reading them out there, Jay, the John Fearon one, was that a Mr. John Fearon off of Twitter?
Aye.
He's a Hamilton Accies fan, I don't know what he's doing listening to this.
Right, is he one of your
friends? He's an old mate of mine, aye.
Spying.
we appeal to all sorts of scene. Just wrap up with, I know it's still only coming towards the end of March, but there's a number of players out of contract at the end of the season, Keith, including yourself. I know you can't possibly divulge too much information, but I assume from gauging the conversation that your desire is to remain at the club and on a playing capacity first and foremost.
No, very much so. You know, I know Buster's saying my goal scoring exploits have taken a turn for the worse, but I still feel fit and able and you know, to make a contribution. I still, you know, if that wasn't the case, I certainly, you know, I would definitely let people know. And it's sometimes that, you know, even myself, you look at a lot older players, if you like, or veterans, whatever you want to call them. And sometimes they say that and you think, ah, are you just saying that kind of thing? But genuinely, as you know, I do still feel fit. And we, you know, the support network we've got at the club now, we, you know, Andy Bowles, the strength and condition coach, and you know, Adam Stokes, the physio, and, you know, knowledge that's out there. I just, it's one of the things, I don't think you can fail to be, you know, look after yourself now with the information that's out there and things like that. So if you put the work in, I think, it's no coincidence to me, you do see players playing, you know, a lot longer now than they did, you know, a few years back. So from my own point of view, yeah, looking to play on, and, you know, hopefully I can play on for a little, you know, a couple of years yet. Yeah, I've certainly got aspirations of getting to the other side of the game, and delighted to be helping out in a coaching capacity with the 17s and, you know, the Crags at the 20s, and it's something, you know, I'm learning a great deal from that side of it. But, you know, nothing beats playing, nothing beats pulling on the jersey and running out there on a Saturday, and, you know, it's certainly something I'm looking to do for the foreseeable future. So, you know, from a contract point of view, it's you know, it's something I'll be hopefully looking to stay on at the club and you know, for next year and beyond. So, you know, hopefully if Alan Burrows is listening to all that, he can give me a phone and we'll sort something out. but no, simple answer is yes. I looking to play on and, you know, have a deal for next year.
What about in terms of the... Sorry, Bust, I keep on speaking over you and you go, pal.
No, no, that's fine. It's just because I'm...
You finished that Chinese off. Yet?
I was just eating the chips and curry sauce. It was just as a... Just as a wee dessert.
That's not my fitness plan that I was just talking about, by the way.
So if Alan Burrows is listening, please switch it off for a couple of minutes.
If Alan Burrows is listening, he's just got hungry.
He just wants one.
Well, just on you're talking about yourself in the future there. We know you were in Stuttgart, part of your badges and stuff. How's that coming along for you?
No, great. As part of my pro licence, you have to do a club visit, like, you know, a European club visit. So I was lucky enough to get out there last week and got to see their training facilities and meet a few people and kind of speak to them about their approach in terms of the youth development and how they were looking to do it. And it was a bit of an eye-opening experience, to be honest with you, in terms of their facilities and how they go about it. So no, it was great learning curve again. And as I said, it's the pro licence, it finishes in November, this October, November, that'll be me done with that. So it's been two years in the making, if you like, and it's been tough. It's been a lot of work involved in it, but I think being a football manager is a lot of work as well, to be honest with you. So it's something that's hopefully prepares you that little bit more again to hopefully once the time comes. But no, that's been going really well, thanks, and I've got a few more bits and bobs to do before then, you know, in terms of the work you have to do and submit at the end. So, you know, getting there with that, and as I said, running that alongside, you know, having the chance to work with the young guys at the club and, you know, helping Crags out as well, which has been fantastic. It's great, really enjoying it. Hard work, but really, really enjoying it. And something, like as I said to you, I think it's no secret, certainly, you know, definitely want to go down that route when I finish up playing, which I hope obviously isn't for a wee while yet, but it's going well, thanks, it's going well at the moment, and you know, a busy few months ahead again.
Of all the managers you've played under, who would you say you've taken the most from and take the most into your own personal coaching style?
There's no doubt about that, it's Jim Gannon, that. 100%. It's again, without sounding too cliche, it really is just a wee bit from a lot of them, to be honest with you. You know, I think right back to wee Billy and, you know, bits and bobs from him. The biggest thing I take from him is, you know, you forget how young he was when he took the job, and to be so assured that, I know he's a guy that polarises opinion and amongst my old fans, but certainly to see him work at the age he worked at, and you know, certainly no surprise to me that he went on to achieve what he did, you know, down south and things. So it's wee bits how organised he was and training sessions, you know, Craig Brown, just in terms of the way he managed people and
Terry Butcher, how he could kick down a door technique, things like that. But no, I say Mark McGee, first time, Stuart McCall, keep drying them off. And it's just taking wee bits, the wee bits that you like, the wee bits that you don't like. And, obviously at the end of that, you hopefully become something that's, it's got these wee strings to your bow, like, and then obviously add your own personality to that, and it's, at the end of that, you hope you've got something decent to work with. But no, it's great. As I said, I'm continually learning, through the course, and going and seeing other people operate and how they do it. And, even with the current manager just now, he's been great with me in terms of little bits of advice here and there, and things. Working with Craggs has been great, and Steve Robinson as well is a really good coach, and even Scott Leach, so there's loads of guys even at the club at the moment that you're constantly learning off. So certainly in a good position in that regard. So when the time comes, I hope I can take that advice and that I've learned and experience I've learned and put it to good use. So it's continually learning. Every day's a school day.
Keith, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and hopefully we don't have to wait another 80 episodes to do it again. We'll thank you very much.
No problem, guys. And listen, I said to you before, I enjoy listening myself, even when it's not going so well, and it's maybe a bit harder to listen to. But look, listen, I know you guys are only speaking for the heart, and the club's best interests at heart. So keep up the good work, and I'll continue to be subscribing to the MFC podcast. And as you say, hopefully I can be on again sooner rather than later. So thanks for speaking to you, and Buster, enjoy the rest of that Chinese pub.
It's got to get a bit of bread and dip it in the curry sauce now.
Oh, you're a beauty. Alan Burrows better not be listening now.
Jay, Buster, thanks very much, guys.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye.
Thank you.